Jim, hey, congratulations. I know Seattle's a tough football team, just the way their attitude, the way they play. So you went toe to toe with a what I'd call a bully football team. You know what I loved about your win? I want you to talk about it. It's what I'd call Lion style. And our Lion fans that call all the time, when they see Stafford throwing for 350 and all the scoring that's going on, and then to do it without Calvin scoring a touchdown, I think it's a nice statement about everybody else and your first game without Nate Burleson.
Well, not only that, Pat, but how tough Seattle's defense is. Outstanding defense, one of the best in the league, and was top five defense coming into the league in just about every single category. And it made life really tough on a lot of opponents. And we got three drives over 80 yards. Matt completed over 70% of his passes, did it to a lot of different guys. Our tight ends were moving the chains for us and also making some big plays. Titus Young had a breakout game. Calvin contributed even though he didn't get in the end zone. Ryan Broyles got in the end zone. We saw some good things from our running backs. Probably the biggest play of the game. We're down three inside a minute. We got third and 10 in the red zone. And they give a lot of respect to Calvin and back up and try to jam the end zone up. And Stafford hit Joik Bell on a little angle route. And he was able to get 11 yards and get down to the one and give us three more shots at the end zone. Even though we're in field goal position to tie the game, but we have a chance to win it right there. And that was as big a play as there was in the game.
Yep. Well, I just want to follow up because, Jimmy, because you used the term I wanted to jump on too, respect for Calvin. To me, respect for Calvin means a man and a half, two, minimum of one and a half, two guys. Has anyone started to drop a safety down against Mikel Ashour on first downs? Or do you ever see anyone doing that to you yet? I used to follow Peyton Manning. No matter what, it was always two high safeties. You just
yeah,
couldn't
you know,
get
we
anyone
saw
to do it.
We saw it a little bit from Chicago. I don't know that they were necessarily doing it to stop our run game as much as they were trying to speed up our pass game, get more pressure, bring an extra safety, do some things like that. Seattle had played, coming into our game, had played probably 80-85% a single high defense, cover one and cover three. And in our game, we saw more two-man and two than we had seen from them combined the entire season up to that point. So, Calvin still affects the game significantly. The game-winning touchdown that we threw to Titus, the field was lopsided. They had four guys over working on Calvin's side. And it left 3-on-2 over on the other side, and the extra player was a linebacker that was in the box. So Matt was able to make a good, accurate throw, and Titus was able to come down with it. But the reason that it was open up was because of Calvin on the opposite side of the field. So opens up our tight end. Pettigrew had a good day. Scheffler had a good day. Like I said, the angle route to the running back. None of that's possible without Calvin Johnson on the field.
Or Matthew Stafford throwing the football, coach, because he has a knack for doing this. Now, that was four times he's thrown a game-winning touchdown pass with under a minute to go in the game. That's just big time. I don't know how else to say it. It's big time play by him. And I guess for you, the coaching staff, the players on the team, knowing that if the game's on the line, I mean, more than likely this guy's coming through with a score.
Yeah, we've had a couple times now where we've been down late in the game, and we have a chance to tie, but also we can go for the win. We didn't get it done against Philly. We ended up kicking the tying field goal, won that one in overtime. But the two other times that Matt was leading us back, we were able to do that against the Rams and then do it against a tough Seattle team. We went 16 plays on that last drive, and Matt was completing the ball to a lot of different guys, had a couple key third down conversions. We were 12 of 16 on third down, and I think 8 of 8 in the second half or something like that. I mean, we went 8 in a row, and he just kept moving the chains. And not only did that get us the game-winning touchdown when we were 3 points down right there, but it also effectively got rid of the rest of the game clock and gave Seattle no time to be able to catch up. And we've seen Seattle make big plays at the end of the games too. So, we whittled it down to about 20 seconds. And then it just allowed us to play prevent and just play the last two plays and not really be threatened, because we were protecting a touchdown at that point.
It was a shame to see Bill Bentley go to IR. I've liked that guy since I got a chance to watch him for that week of the Senior Bowl. You and I have talked about that many times. Just a good, solid guy, good anticipation skills that you brought up to me when I said that last time, good speed to cover as well. Just talk about your secondary. Since I started having these conversations with you once a week, I think once a week we talk about another defensive back that's been injured.
Yeah, we've had quite a few guys out. You know, Jacksonville's sort of the same way. You know, last week they went up to Green Bay and they didn't have three of their four starters in the secondary, and they held a very powerful Packers offense and Aaron Rodgers to about 180 yards passing. So, you know, that just goes to prove that you can do it in this league, and everybody has talent. It's just a matter of getting opportunities. You know, Bill Bentley had shown some really, really good things. He hurt his shoulder a little bit in our OTAs and then came back in our preseason game against Oakland and hurt it significantly and then sort of battled his way back and hurt it again against Philly. And it just wasn't responding. And, you know, the odds of him being able to get back on the field for us were pretty thin. And he needs to have surgery anyway, and this gives him a good chance to get started on that. And be able to go through and have a good rehab. It's hard to be a defensive back when you can't use your shoulders tackling. And also, he was having trouble just raising his arm up. And it was affecting
himself.
His technique and things like that. The one thing you don't want to do with a young player, particularly a talented young player, is set him back even worse and have him lose his confidence because of an injury. And, you know, we'll get Jacob Lacey back on the field. We got a chance to get Drayton Lawrence back on the field in a couple weeks with the new IR rule. Chris Houston's still playing very, very consistent ball. He's been matching number one receivers for us. And, you know, we've sort of patched it together in the secondary. And, you know, those guys have done a good job of preventing big plays. Ricardo Silva, an undrafted free agent out of Hampton, had a couple really big plays for us. Had a touchdown-saving tackle and then also intercepted a pass that was a big turnaround when Russell tried to go deep on a ball. So, you know, they've been effective in getting the job done, but we also get some guys back from injuries, which will help.
Well, Coach, a little bit on the Jacksonville Jaguars. You mentioned they've dealt with their share of injuries. No Derek Cox last week or Rasheen Mathis in the secondary. No Maurice Jones-Drew, but yet Blaine Gabbert's probably coming off one of his best games, 300 yards passing against Green Bay without his key playmaker, Maurice Jones-Drew, in the backfield.
Yeah, you know, he had a breakout game from Cecil Shorts, who is a second-year receiver out of Mount Union, Division III college. You know, Justin Blackman, their first-round draft pick, was productive in the game. You know, he's moving the ball around a few different places. And, you know, the running back, Rashad Jennings, he didn't rush for very many yards, but he did a very good job in the pass game and had a couple explosive plays there, making guys miss and picking up first downs. So, you know, they certainly have enough playmakers. I think when people think of the Jacksonville Jaguars on offense, they think of Maurice Jones-Drew, but I think their team went a long way to proving that he's not the only offensive player that they have and the only talent that they have.
Jim, it's you know, I love talking to guys when they win. It's just I'd like to keep you on all day, but you've got to get ready for your game. You excited about where your team is turning? You know, people are, you ask the average fan, okay, and Detroit fans are passionate. They still got to prove to me that they're ready to go here. I have a feeling after I saw how you won that the Lions are back and they're going to play the way they're supposed to play and throw that ball all over the field. And as you say, no extra credit for running the ball. You'll run when you have to, but your throwing game should bring you a couple wins in a row here. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, we can, you know, losing Burleson was a hit for us, but we still got a lot of other talent on the field. And, you know, get young guys settled in. We drafted Broyles in the second round, and a lot of people sort of questioned, you know, why we drafted him or, you know, we didn't need him. But you know, you can never anticipate injuries. You want to have as much depth as you can. You want to acquire as many good players as you can. And he made a couple really big plays for us, particularly early in that game, to show, you know, why he's the all-time leading receiver in the history of college football. So, you know, I think that there's still a lot better that we can play. We still have some, you know, some guys that are a little bit nicked up, and everybody does in the NFL, but we can get a little bit healthier. The big thing is ending this four-game streak, you know, going on the road again, being able to come out with a win. If we can get that done and get back to 4-4, the schedule favors us at home over the last half of the year. We have difficult teams to play, but, you know, when we play five of our first eight on the road, six of our first nine on the road, then it gives us a chance at the end of the season to be able to come back and play in front of fans at Ford Field.
Definitely be big, Coach. Well, is Riley Reiff politicking for the football? I see him in there on the jumbo package, Coach. Can Scott Linehan dial up Riley Reiff some throws?
Yeah, you know, he was a tight end in high school.
Okay.
Very good athletic ability. You know, we're using him in a lot of different ways, just getting him on the field. He was a little bit under the weather this last game and didn't play as much as he had the previous week. But, you know, we're lining him up at tight end, lining him up off the ball, some fullback type stuff. He's a load to handle. And the reason he can do that stuff, he's a very good athlete. So, if the opportunity arose, I'm sure he would be very willing to be a receiver. I know he can catch, and I wouldn't want to have to tackle a 300-pound guy like that running.
Hey, last one from you, is Mike Thomas. I realize now that we didn't cover that, and now he's a Lion. I used to love when people said, did you debrief the guy? You know what? They get down. They got enough to learn our stuff, and I think the fans would like to believe there's all this secret debriefing of players. I suspect nothing's changed much since I was in this thing, and not a lot of that goes on. But how is he going to help your football team? That's what I want to know.
Well, number one, we have every game tape that Jacksonville played.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a pretty good idea what formations they're going to use and, you know, what personnel they're going to use and the plays they're going to run and everything else. The key to this league is not having information on opponents. It's knowing when they're – I mean, it's when they're going to run things and then the execution of when they're going to run. You know, everybody plays pretty much the same things and does the same things. It's execution and, you know, and put your guys in good position. But, you know, Mike's a guy that we liked a couple of years ago, saw him at the Senior Bowl. He's short, but he's pretty stout and he's very strong. He can play slot. He can play outside. He's a multidimensional player. He can be a returner. You know, when we lost Burleson, it zapped our depth. You know, we had guys in place to be able to step in and replace his production on the field, Broyles and Titus Young and Tony Scheffler, but it really limited our depth, and Mike gives us some more depth. He gives us an experience. Even though he's still young, he is an experienced guy, and he's a playmaker, a guy that he has the ball in his hands. He can make something happen. So, you know, it's hard to get help later in the season, middle of the season where we are right now. But this was an opportunity that was good for us. And the thing that will make a difference is not going to be any information he has. It's just going to be his abilities on the field and our ability to be able to execute on offense with him.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate your time. Good luck to you this weekend. Get to 500, Coach. Always good talking to you.
All right, I appreciate it, guys.
Take care, Jim. Good luck.